Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
The following advertisement is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
Hello, you are listening to a commercial for the podcast Over the Top Rope,
the flagship podcast of the Wind Column Sports Network,
as well as a proud member of Backbreaker Media.
Again, this podcast is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
You can find us pretty well anywhere that podcasts are played, including on the iTunes,
Podbean,
the Google Play,
SoundCloud,
and on windcolumnsports.ca for all your previews,
reviews,
and breaking news from the world of professional wrestling. Tune in every Friday on Backbreaker Media, a member of Wind Column Sports. Hello friends, this is Spencer Love, the host of Conversations with Love, the exclusive one-on-one interview series sweeping the nation, or at the very least, the great province of Alberta, Canada. Tune in weekly to Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, as I host a member of the independent wrestling community here in Alberta, or wherever the hell I feel like interviewing somebody from. You can only find it on Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, and proudly sponsored by Beercade YEG.
The Sounds of Struggle. I'm rocking solo this week, and my name is Chris Parrish, and I'm just gonna dive right on in because it was a busy week this weekend where we saw the official of the release of three WWE superstars plus one legend, where we saw the release of Hideo Itami officially, even though we already knew he had asked for his release. It was about 2 weeks ago where he asked for his release. Finally got it. Same day as TJP, the first Cruiserweight Champion of the modern era. He was let go. There's been a lot of stories as of to why. Nothing really set in stone yet, so I'm not going to speculate to why he was released, but he was. And the third was my ringtone, ladies and gentlemen, the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. No more, asked for his release, got it within days. Gonna say, that one, sucks to hear, but I can understand why he, not exactly was doing much. He is at that age where I think he does realize that there's more that he can do, and WWE was just not the platform he was going to be able to do it on. So he asked for his release, he was granted, and therefore he is no longer with the company. As far as the legend, Arn Anderson also let go. Bruce Pritchard being hired as a creative writer, so should be interesting to see how that changes the dynamics. I personally have a few releases I would make, but I would let that slide because, let's face it, who knows who listens, and I don't want to get heat. So, I'm just going to leave it at that. Plus, I think it'd be more of a fun game with Maniac if he was here to say who would we release, who would we keep. I don't know. Let me know what everyone thinks about that idea, because it could be fun. So yeah. Now, given, you know, what we've seen on Raw and SmackDown nonetheless, Raw, we've seen Becky Lynch, get arrested for violating her suspension. So another fuel to the fire of that storyline. We all saw Ronda Rousey drop her title in frustration, wanting Becky Lynch to be added to the match against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania to make this a triple threat match, which, I mean, come on, you can't fool us. We know what that's what they're going to be doing. How can you have the hottest thing in pro wrestling, especially on the female side, in Becky Lynch, not the biggest show of the year? I mean, foolish, right? Also, we saw this week on SmackDown a debut. A return. We actually saw a return on Monday Night Raw. But I'm going to start with SmackDown because I think the one on Raw deserves a little bit more praise. So on SmackDown, we saw the return of Kevin Owens as Vince McMahon decided, hey, I can do this on Raw by taking Becky Lynch out of the match and adding Charlotte Flair. I'm going to do the same thing with the WWE Championship match at Fastlane, as he took Kofi Kingston out of the match and added Kevin Owens, which should be an interesting dynamic to why moving forward. Kevin Owens did say, hey, look, I can understand why people are mad, but I'm happy that Vince finally realizes my talents. But let's have a match between myself and Kofi against Rowan and Daniel Bryan, which they did. Turns out that I believe he won that match by pinning Daniel Bryan with the Stone Cold Stunner, which could be using that now as a move moving forward. But the big return on Monday Night Raw, we saw the big dog Roman Reigns make his return to Monday Night Raw, as speculated. Actually, I guess there's two returns to Raw, but fuck it, I started on this one. So, let's just say this one. So, yeah, we're talking about Roman Reigns making his return, announcing his cancer is in remission. So that is amazing news to hear about the big dog. He actually got involved later in the night to help Dean Ambrose, of all people, who turned heel the same night he announced he had leukemia. So, yeah, what, I guess it's fair to say that, cancer changes everyone. So apparently, between the time that the cancer was back and in remission, Dean Ambrose had a heel turn, because it all seemed like both lasted the same time. But yeah, him, Big Dog Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins helped Dean Ambrose from a 4-on-1 attack as Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, and Elias were putting the boots to Dean Ambrose. And we saw Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns help out. They made no interaction with Dean Ambrose. Just beat up the four heels, left, looked back, saw Dean Ambrose getting back up, and that was it. So who knows if we're going to see a third Shield reunion? But, I mean, who's to say? So we all know that Dean Ambrose, speculate, has up until WrestleMania, until his contract ends, or just shortly after. So interesting to see where this all leads to in the long haul. As I was talking about Roman Reigns, I forgot that we also had another return. As, you know, Raw was about Ric Flair's 70th birthday celebration. And we saw legends in the ring. We saw Shawn Michaels. We saw Triple H. We saw the Icon Sting. And as we were waiting, I guess Ricky Steamboat also was there. Cannot forget about Ricky Steamboat, the best arm drag in the business, brother. So, he was in the ring. We're waiting for Ric Flair. His music plays. We wait a little while, because it's Ric Flair, damn it. He can take a while. But, you know, we take a little while. Nobody comes out. All of a sudden, camera pans to the back. And we saw somebody directing a camera, and boom! Dave Bautista, the Animal, is back on Raw. But why? He barges into Ric Flair's dressing room, pulls him out, looks like Ric Flair's been beat up, making it look like Bautista beat up Ric Flair, drags him out of the dressing room, pans to the camera and says, Triple H, do I have your attention now? Triple H runs out of the ring, checks on Flair. Looks like we're setting up for the Game and the Animal to lock horns at WrestleMania 35. So, yeah, another WrestleMania match. Looks to be kind of out there. So, it'll be interesting to see kind of what they do from here on out. Not sure if I'm stoked for this match. Simply because I've seen this match at WrestleMania before. It was WrestleMania 21, I believe, in Hollywood, where they did all those cool little vignettes. Where, yeah, I believe that's where JBL lost the WWE Championship to John Cena. And Triple H lost the World Heavyweight Championship to Bautista. So, I don't know, I'd much rather have seen Triple H, maybe The Rock. Part of me kind of rather sees Stone Cold and Triple H, as that match has never happened at WrestleMania, which is kind of unbelievable when you think about it, because how many times have those guys been in the spotlight in the main event back in their day, but not once did they have a match at WrestleMania. So, very interesting on that accord, but, you know, it is what it is. We also see a little bit more dynamics between Rey Mysterio and Andrade. Don't call him Cien Almas, as they tangled with R-Truth in a triple threat match for the U.S. title on SmackDown, with R-Truth pinning Rey Mysterio, I believe, to retain. So one believes that we could see Andrade and Rey at Fastlane, possibly ending at Mania. Who knows? I don't think anyone who appreciates good wrestling is going to actually say no to Andrade and Rey, as they just keep having amazing matches. So, that's it. We also saw and witnessed the NHL trade deadline. As this is where you're going to want Manaik, because he always has those details on every little thing. So I'll try to do my best here. But we saw a few trades. We saw, I believe, one goalie actually move, and that was Kincaid going from the New Jersey Devils to the Columbus Blue Jackets very early in the day, which led to speculation of whether or not Bobrovsky was going to get traded, which he did not. So now Columbus has the Kincaid, Corpusalo, Bobrovsky trio, which is very interesting, because it's one thing to have a goaltender debacle when you have two goalies, but now they have three NHL-ready goalies. So it should be interesting. Maybe Kincaid was brought in just so in the case Bobrovsky leaves free agency, you can actually play that card and be okay. Who knows how, you know, what the long-term plan is on that trade, but seems to be it. Wayne Simmons gets traded from the Philadelphia Flyers to the Nashville Predators, along with Michael Granlund from the Minnesota Wild, also gets dealt to the Nashville Predators. So Nashville becomes that much stronger post-deadline. They get a very, very solid two-way forward in Wayne Simmons, who can score. He brings some size to their top six. Granlund brings some skill, so they got better. So that's going to be a very interesting story down the line to see kind of just where they shake up from here on out in the playoffs. We also saw Mark Stone traded from the Ottawa Senators to the Vegas Golden Knights for Brännström. I believe it was a second prospect as well, and a first round pick, I believe. A big return for the Ottawa Senators, but a great return in Vegas, who quickly signed him to an 8-year contract with an AAV of $9.5 million, locking up Stone. Vegas Twitter flat out saying, "We got stoned right away." Gotta love their Twitter activity, but yeah, it looks like Vegas got another top six forward out of this one, so very curious. We saw Kevin Hayes traded from the New York Rangers, and he goes to the Winnipeg Jets for a first-round pick. Heard very multiple reports about Kevin Hayes being worth the first-round pick or not. But hey, at the end of the day, Winnipeg feels they needed Kevin Hayes to help them with their playoff push, so they did what they felt was right. They also brought in Matt Hendricks with a seventh round pick. Traded Nate Patan to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that also is what they did. Multiple trades were made. Those were the big ones. So yeah, the Edmonton Oilers, local team, did absolutely nothing. Not exactly surprised, because it's flat out, what do they have to sell that other teams really want? I mean, it could have been Chiasson, could have been Cassian, but at the end of the day, if the price wasn't high enough for Chiasson, who openly has already said he wants to stay at Edmonton, then why trade him at all? He has 17 goals on the year. Do not see a reason to move him if you don't get what you want. Secondary scoring is a big thing for the Oilers right now, as they showed that same day, losing a shootout attempt to the Nashville Predators, playing their second game without Connor McDavid. Getting two goals from Leon Draisaitl, though. That guy is having a career year. 38 goals on the season now, on pace for 50 goals. So I think he's on pace for a 100-point season now. So, yeah. Anybody who says Leon Draisaitl is not worth the 8.5, well, you show me a 50-goal scorer or potential 50-goal scorer and their contract. And, you know, I'm going to say, I mean, I'd pay $8.5 million for a 50-goal scorer. I mean, and that's not even including Connor McDavid. So they could have possibly two potential 50-goal scorers in their lineup. I'd say that's pretty damn good. They just need some secondary scoring to win some more games. However, Mikko Koskinen, 36 saves in the loss, played amazing for his team. So, the more I think he plays the way he played in that game against Nashville, the more I think he is a bargain for the contract he signed, even though I still don't agree with the timing of that contract. But at the end of the day, you want a number one goalie playing, and can't say he's not playing well right now. So, I'd rather have different arguments about Koskinen right now. so hard to say Kiprasov, because that's where you want to say it, the Miko, or even Mikko Koivu, for that matter. But Mikko Koskinen playing like a number one right now, so you can't really say too much negative about him. He is helping the Oilers stay in games, giving them a chance to win. That's all you can ask for from your number one goalie. Also, I know Maniac's team, the Chicago Blackhawks, also did not do anything on the trade deadline. Don't know if they also could. Both issues each team had was financially, they couldn't really do a heck of a whole lot. They were pretty strapped towards the cap. Plus, right now, Chicago is kind of surging up in the standings. They're playing very good hockey. They're making that push to become a playoff team. So, do you really want them to change that dynamic? And I'm sure a lot of teams are just asking about Strome and DeBrincat, and I don't think Chicago wants to, move those guys. They're playing very good together, and, it's smart to keep them together. So, can't blame Chicago at all. Sometimes the best moves on a deadline are the moves you don't make. And that's, that could be something. Plus, Interim general manager Keith Gretzky for the Oilers flat out said that there were conversations that, had groundwork for future conversations. So once the season is over, once that draft season comes, there could be some revisitation to those talks. So you've heard from general managers before that is something that happens a lot. On the trade deadline, sometimes you don't make a move then, but you set the groundwork for later deals, future deals. So that's something to always look for. So that's always that. On to other sports, we see that Bryce Harper is getting closer and closer to signing a contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. It seems like that is just about one of the last big news from the free agency out of MLB. Really, that's about it, too, because spring training is going. But really, there's not a lot to talk about. It's baseball. Either you love baseball and you want to hear me talk more, but if you don't like baseball and you're not a gigantic baseball fan like Tag Struggle are, it's kind of hard to get emotionally invested into spring training. So, with that being said, we're going to talk a little bit more about wrestling and the sports we do cover. We'll talk a little NFL right now because it's something that, we don't talk a lot about in the NFL, but Antonio Brown has talked a little bit more about the potential of being moved. He does apparently want to be traded. So it looks like Antonio Brown will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler into next season. Another player who looks to be on the move is Bengals former first rounder John Ross. He looks to be being shot by the Bengals not very long after he was a coveted draft pick by the Bengals. So how quickly can your life turn in the NFL? That is absolutely insane. San Francisco 49ers are going to place franchise tag on kicker Robbie Gould, which you don't see a lot of. You don't see a lot of franchise tag on the kickers. So we also have heard that there is discussed contract negotiations between the XFL and former San Francisco 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick. So very interesting to hear. Could be interesting to see if Kaepernick becomes the face of the XFL. How interesting dynamic. Kaepernick, issues with Trump and his political stance, but might play in a league where Vince McMahon owns, who's known to be be the founder of WWE, who has Donald Trump in their Hall of Fame. So very interesting on that front. Marshawn Lynch is more likely to return after Raiders stadium deal to remain in the city of Oakland for this incoming year. So that is very interesting. We have Robert Kraft and his story about being involved in a prostitution ring. Apparently, he visited a day spa before the AFC title game. So that leads to so much speculation. But at the end of the day, hey, when you're Robert Kraft, do you have any limitations? I mean, should you have any limitations? I don't know. Hard to say. Interesting that there's finally some news about the New England Patriots, though. Because, you know, that's a franchise that could use more public eye, if you ask me. Blue Jays general manager flat out says Vladdy Jr. not an MLB player yet, which is quite strange seeing how everyone pegs him as a top prospect in baseball right now. So, very interesting. In terms of hockey, what do people think about the Carolina Hurricanes right now and their celebration? I know Maniac and I have talked about it a few times, but they have just absolutely have taken the whole bunch of jerk slogan and have completely, embraced it. And now they embraced it in their latest victory celebration, and I can just say this is absolutely entertaining stuff. I think good for them. If this brings you more fans to their games, and this helps sell the game of hockey to the Carolina people and the people in Raleigh, then why does it matter to people? Again, like I personally have said, I can understand Don Cherry, who's a traditionalist and I'll like it, but at the end of the day, you want hockey to grow. So if this helps hockey growing in a area where maybe it's not the number one thing, who cares? And does it really matter that much? You're helping the game. This is bringing people together, and hockey is the reason of it, so don't really see a big deal. Let us know what you think. I mean, this is time where if you listen to the Sounds of Struggle, we want to know what people think. So tweet us, message us on Facebook, let everyone at Backbreaker Media know, let everyone at Wincom Sports know, because as you know, Sound Struggle is part of the Backbreaker Media, which is a division of the Wincom Sports. And if you need to know where to find us, it's anywhere podcasts are played, which is the Apple App Store, the iTunes, Google Play, the Google Stitch, I believe. Fuck YouTube, but anywhere you can get podcasts, feel free and don't, even if you're bored, don't be, a stranger to, the VOD, where you can see, Power Slam on the back. I believe if you use the code word tag struggle, you get some little discount and a little nudge to save some bucks, so it's a great little thing to have, so why not? Also, another little thing I was kind of thinking about is what's going to be the look of the AEW titles? And is it safe to say that they should debut a heavyweight title, women's title, and tag titles? And those are the big three right away. And then a secondary individual male title later. But is it safe to say that the main one is going to be just the AEW Championship? Well, but I mean, I'm a big fan of knowing what titles are going to look at. I mean, it kind of bugs me that the look of championships in WWE are what they are, because I think the ones in NXT are just absolutely fantastic. And then you can pick and choose your ones on the main roster. Like, the women's tag titles are beautiful. The Intercontinental Championship is a classic and should never be touched. And then you can have your say on what you think Universal WWE title are. But, I mean, the tag titles, come on. I mean, you might as well just put two fingers in your throat and throw up right now. Right? Because, I mean, those are brutal. I mean, let's go back to the tag titles that, the Hart Foundation, Demolition, you know, Edge and Christian when they first won their tag titles. Those ones. You know, those were the nice tag team championships. And if I think you're going to have dual championships, just change the color of the strap at the very least. Or, I mean, I believe those tag team championships have a globe on them. Just change the globe from a blue to be on SmackDown and a red to be on Raw. Come on. Pretty subtle change, if you ask me. I don't know. I guess we also conclude the women's title with the WWE title and the Universal. They're all the same design. But I'm not a big component of the women's title and the main men's title looking all that different. I mean, NXT has that, and it's really not a bad look. So, I don't know. I don't hate that little thing they got going on, so very interesting if you ask me. But I mean, yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to have a little bit of change? I mean, then if you go to the 205, the Cruiserweight title, I mean, how sick would that title look like if you gave it a black strap and you added some gold to that that championship? I don't know. I know there's a photo online that has it, and it looks really good. So, I mean, I don't know. Say it's the same fan in me, but, I mean, how can you go wrong with black and gold people? I mean, just come on. Especially with championship titles. Especially with a little bit of blue, a little bit of red. Come on. It's not too bad. I mean, just doing it in the right place. I just do find, like, a main plate being gold. Just looks nice. I'm a big component of gold championships, so. Yeah. In other words, a Honky Tonk Man is now the newest inductee in the Hall of Fame for 2019. Good on him. Was one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all the time. So, good on the Honky Tonk Man. I really hope, I think Jimmy Hart would be the perfect guy to induct him. I know there's a conversation between a few of us on the after party that we had after the last Real Championship Wrestling show in Bruderheim, of who to induct DX. And I think, man, this would be the perfect time for the Nation to come out doing a DX impersonation and getting their payback. I think this would be fantastic. But yeah, I think the Nation of Domination being the group to induct DX in the Hall of Fame would be absolutely amazing. Also bringing to light, I think the Nation Domination themselves should be in the Hall of Fame. So, and I think too, like, when you count, well, who would be the ones in the Nation Domination? Well, you have The Rock, you have Farouk, you have D'Lo, Mark Henry, you have The Godfather. I think those are your main ones. And if you want to add Owen Hart in that, that's, you know, I'm never going to say no to that, because Owen Hart deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's not the way I would love to see Owen Hart be in the Hall of Fame. Love to see him on his own accord. I do believe he has earned that. But yeah, other guesses of who will be inducted in the Hall of Fame this year. I do believe that they need to add, or they'll probably add a single star. I think it could be either The Rock or The Undertaker. But if they don't want anybody overshadowing DX, you have a plethora of guys who I think serve to be in the Hall of Fame. There should be a woman. There should be a manager, personality, celebrity wing. Another celebrity that I think would be perfect in there would be Lawrence Taylor. That'd be a great name, I think, to have in there. He had that match with Bam Bam Bigelow, who, there we go, that's another one I would throw my hat in the mix for the Hall of Fame, is Bam Bam Bigelow. Even Kane. Kane would be a perfect guy, too. Even Big Show. Big Show would be a great guy to have. In terms of women, though, women that aren't in nowadays, Victoria, maybe? Mickey James? Those are a couple that come to mind right away. So, yeah. Let us know who you'd want in the Hall of Fame, because that is definitely a slippery slope and a very opinionated, heavy question. So let us know who you want in the Hall of Fame. It should be very, interesting when it's all said and done, who the complete list of, the inductions are, but we will have it on the Sounds of Struggle. You can bet your sweet ass we will let you know, even if you're paying attention or not, we will definitely bring it up. Another thing, we got Fastlane coming up in a couple weeks. We got Fastlane happening on the birthday of one Mrs. Maniac, and it's the day before the birthday of yours truly. The one that you're listening to right now, myself. Very curious. We got a few matches already on the go for that one. Now we have Daniel Bryan defending his WWE Championship against Kevin Owens. We have... I'm just looking at a couple things right now. Pulling it up. We got Ronda Rousey, I believe, is probably going to be defending that WWE Women's Championship at some point. I don't know, you would think. But I don't think there's actually a lot of matches. I think there's only a few as of right now. We got the Usos defending against The Miz and Shane McMahon in a rematch. We have Asuka against Mandy Rose, who defeated her last week on SmackDown. And we have the Boston Hug Connection versus Nia Jax and Tamina for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Those are the four matches as of right now that are set for WWE Fastlane. I talked about Rey Mysterio and Andrade. I think that might be added. I think there's going to be a Cruiserweight title match that might be added. I believe an Intercontinental title match. Maybe Bobby Lashley against Finn Balor. Curious to see if they're going to have the Revival on there or not. Wouldn't be surprised if the Revival face off against Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. That match wouldn't surprise me. Also, I can see maybe the U.S. title being on the line. It's also nice to see R-Truth back on TV. We haven't seen R-Truth on TV since he won the U.S. title. It's nice to see him have a match where he actually retains the U.S. title. On SmackDown, we also saw Aleister Black and Ricochet team up, where they, first they defeated the Revival on Monday Night Raw, but now they defeated the team. I believe it was the Bar on SmackDown? It was Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. My mistake. Yeah, Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura teaming up, losing to Aleister Black and Ricochet. So, very interesting to see the long haul. I can understand why they're tagging. If you did read the spoilers to NXT, that would give you a little bit of hindsight to why they're being used as a tag team and not DIY. But at the end of the day, I mean, wouldn't you just rather see these guys on their own stage? Just do their own thing? I know I would. Also, where would you like to see the four of them go? Where would you see Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Aleister Black and Ricochet? Which brand would you rather them go to? Same thing with, the Lacey Evans, the Nikki Cross, EC3s, the Heavy Machineries of the world. Where do you want to see these go? Lacey Evans is, she's not doing much right now, but she's making an impact on WWE TV, where she's kind of doing, the Emelina gimmick, but, I think pulling off a little bit better, if you ask me. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love to see her being the sensational Sherry to someone, though. But, I mean, finding that guy would be, that's the big question. Like, who would be the guy that she'd be in the corner of, or the valet of? Even though she has a lot of potential inside the ring as well, and I don't think you hesitate to use her as a worker either, but man, I think she would be so beneficial being paired up with a male talent. Part of me thinks maybe a Tyler Bate would be a good example. A guy that has nothing but time and just, the future in front of him. And you could benefit from having a little bit of a change, maybe a heel persona moving forward. So, no, I don't know. Again, let us know. 40 minutes down, and I think that might actually do it this week for episode 116 of The Sounds of Struggle. Gonna keep it short. I'm sure next week Maniac will be back with us. Hope so. Next week we will have Tag Struggle reunited, giving you a great podcast for episode 117. Till next week, I am Chris Parrish. I am one half the Tag Struggle. My best friend, my tag partner, Maniac, he is the other half. Together we are Tag Struggle. We are real and we are spectacular. We are struggleicious, and that is defined as being a little bit of all right. So until then, we will see you later, bitches. Unless you want to be called something else that way, you gotta actually let us know. Till then, you're bitches. And when your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock, we'll just let it roll. Are you ready now? Are you ready to move? Let's just move.